All right, well, we're going to get started. 1 Peter lesson 3. It's going to be a short review. We're probably not going to get too far today, but we'll see what we have. And so the theme of 1 Peter, everybody have a handout? Is it the right handout this week? Okay. All right, last week I didn't have... I finished up the handout from the week before, but the people that didn't have theirs with them, I went back, and my wife didn't know this, and I made copies, but it was the week before that, so then I had to come back and find somebody's and so forth. And you know what they said? You know what they said, Carrie? We understand why you're like this, because your wife's not here today.
I'm so sorry, people.
Okay. So that's what my wife puts up with. She keeps me going. And she does. So, yeah. So the theme of 1 Peter is how to live for Christ through what? What goes in your blank? I want to pay attention. Anybody been listening the last couple weeks?
Suffering.
Yes, suffering. And so, you know, I used to think, you know, we don't really suffer in this country. They're not in this class. Because I've talked to all of you. All of us have some issues going on with our kids. All of us do. Not just one of us. We all do. And we're like, why? Why? You know, most of us have raised our kids in the church. We've taught them what to do. We've shown them. We've been an example, and yet they have a free will and they do whatever they want after they get away from home. And that's their prerogative, but it still causes us to suffer. I'm telling you, it does. Some more than others. And so, yeah, we're suffering. There's other things that we're suffering through that we probably just don't realize it. Everything, you know, health reasons. When you have health problems going on in your life, and you're like, why, God, why do I have to go through this? Well, maybe he allows us to go through that suffering to help someone else when they go through it, which he does. So suffering, yes, we go through suffering. So this book is, well, I mean, it hits us home, or right where we live. And again, like I said, during the tribulation, this book is going to be gold to these people. That's why we got to get more Bibles out. Now, I'm sure, you know, there's going to be a time that I'm thinking very quickly that they're going to start banning our Bibles. And it's already happening, I think, in different places. They want to ban our Bible because it's a hate speech. So, we'll see. We'll probably take it all the way till they throw us in jail, because we're still going to keep putting them out, and that's on tape, so they're coming after me first. Okay, so how to live for Christ through suffering. And in chapter 1, we saw what to, you got two fill in the blanks there, what to, and I'm real simple, like I said, guys, what to know and what to do. And I'll say this again. People will say, I don't read the Bible because it's just not relevant for us today. It doesn't have anything for me. Yeah, it does. It's real simple. It's like black and white here. The reason you don't want to read your Bible is because you don't want to do what it says. Let's just cut to the chase. So 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 10. But before we get there, I want to just read chapter 1 to get us back in the groove where we're at. We're not going to get far in chapter 2 anyway, but I want to get back in the context. And like Pastor Brian always says all the time, we slept, you know, since the last time we studied this. So let's just read this. 1 Peter verse 1, chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience in the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Wahoo! That we should be, you know, jumping in the aisle. I'm not charismatic, but if it's going to be charismatic, that'd be the verse I want would be jumping in the aisle over. So don't do any flips, Mark. Okay. Anybody in here can do backflips?
Not anymore.
Okay. I mean, that's something to be excited about. Okay. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. There's your sufferings. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So through our sufferings, God wants us to get through it, and that will give him honor, and it'll give him glory, and it's going to give us a rapport with God because of going through it. That's what he wants from us. He wants us to get victory going through our sufferings and not defeat. Okay? Verse 8. Whom, having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, which it testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Same thing with us. When we suffer for Christ, we're going to glory also. Okay, he's our example. Verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition of your fathers, or from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, and raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all glory of man as the flower of grass. And the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So that's chapter 1. Let's read chapter 2, 1 and 2. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So I'm going to stop right there today, and we're going to back up and unpack some stuff. Had somebody sneak in the back. Now, are you just in here for the cookies, brother? You're sitting by him. I put you on this. You're guarding them. Well, eat all you want. I don't think the rest of us are going to probably mind. So we're glad you're in here, Dale. Just picking on you a little bit. So, okay. So we see in verse 1, it starts, what's the first word in chapter 2 of verse 1?
Wherefore.
Okay, so on your handout it says, wherefore in verse 1 is therefore, and you have a blank. I'm probably a weird guy putting blanks in my stuff. Brian probably has his, you know, all nailed down, and mine just go all over the place. The blank I have there is why. That's what I want you to put in the blank. You know, when we read that says wherefore, we should, first thing in our mind should go, okay, so why is that wherefore there? And then we need to go back and see why it's there for. Okay. And so why does it say wherefore? Well, wherefore is basically built around chapter 1, but the very last part of that chapter 1. And let me read this again, actually from around verses 23 to 25. That's listed on your handout. This, because of this, because we have been, we have, are being born again, not of incorruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So, because we have been born again, and it is incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So, the word wherefore in verse 2 is there because of us being born again and given the promises that God has given us. Because of that, he continues on. Okay? He says, because of, and I think I listed them here, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Number one, because we've been born again. Because our salvation is incorruptible. Because our salvation is eternal. Because we have been given this great gift, then we are to, next, it says, wherefore, because of all that, laying aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings. Because of all that he's given to us at salvation, there's some things that we need to do. We need to get rid of some things in our life. So we're speaking of basically as a newborn Christian, but yeah, that applies to all of us. These are things we need to eliminate out of our life. And so, going through discipleship and dealing with people and looking at lists. And we did that, you know, this last week with our disciples. We went through some lists and had them to define things. It's going to kind of be like that today. And so we're going to look at these five things, I think, that to get rid of out of our life. In fact, number one, things to get rid of should be your blank. Now, in our house, we used to love going to antique shows, garage sales, auctions, farm auctions. I mean, and then we stopped going. You know why? It wasn't that we ran out of money. Well, that was part of it. Part of us, we didn't have the time. But part of it's like, we don't need anymore. You know, there's a time when you get stuff in your house. It's like, man, I got stuff in the house. I don't need another one of these. I don't need that. I don't need this. And so there are things we need to get rid of. I'm like, I don't want to go to garage sales. They could have a garage sale next door. I'm not going. I don't want one more thing. I don't even want to tempt myself in going over there. I'm like, I'm trying to get rid of stuff. You know, I might want to move someday. And I know everybody in here is like, yeah, we'll believe it when it happens. But I'm hoping. So I want to get rid of stuff. But there are things we need to get rid of in our life that God didn't want us to have there. And the first one is malice. Now, how many of you used malice this week in a conversation? The word, malice. No, we don't, do we? So, she keeps pointing to you, David, like, what's the deal?
I'm not that smart, so.
Okay. So, again, what do we do? What do we do with a word in our Bible? We don't know what it is. Study it. Go back and look it up, because we need to know what it is. It's God put it there for a purpose. He just didn't need a filler. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it's there for a purpose, okay? So what is malice? Malice is ill will toward someone. Malice is akin to hatred. So hatred goes in your blank. And so I got a couple of verses we're going to look at. And let's look at Colossians chapter 3, 8 and 9. Colossians is a good book. We just went through that, right? Not too long ago. Colossians 3, 8 and 9 says this. It says, but now ye also put off all these. Okay, sounds similar to 1 Peter. Put off all these. Anger, wrath. What's the next word? Malice. Blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. So malice is basically a hatred. Okay? And then, so that's the first one. We need to get rid of hatred out of our life. You know, there are, and that's hard to do, man. That is just hard to do. But you know, Christ forgave us. So we need to forgive others. And there are people that have wronged us. That doesn't mean we have to, you know, let it slide all the time. I got to a point in my life with certain people that I couldn't let it slide anymore. But at the same time, I don't have hatred for it. You just have to get yourself out of that situation. Okay? And you've got to do what you need to do. But holding that malice or that hatred in your heart will not do you any good. You've got to get rid of that. And the second word back in 1 Peter chapter 2 is guile. Again, another one of those words that we don't use. So what is guile? And I think you guys will like this. Guile is double talk. It is being deceitful. It is being manipulating. And guile is acting like a, and there's a... You got it. That's what I'm aiming at. You hit it. Politician. Now that kind of gives us an idea what guile is. Guile is speaking something and really not saying what you mean. And yet coming across that way. You know, politicians will talk to one group and they go, I'm all for you. They'll talk to the other side of the group. Yeah, I'm all for you. I'm with you. Because he wants all their votes. And they're two in the same party, but yet he doesn't want to alienate anybody. Guile is basically double talk. And we shouldn't be like that, you know? We shouldn't. So, Roger, do you have a comment?
So the word beguiled, you know, the serpent beguiled Eve. Is that a form of the word guile?
Yeah, it would be a form of it. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, yes, God said...
He beguiled her. He double-talked her. He tricked her. Yeah. So, yeah, it would. I had not thought of that, but that's a good point. By using smooth words. So, see, that would fit right in with Satan. To say something that is implied but not really mean it. Okay. And I'll give you a verse for that. Psalms 34:15. So you might jot that down. I was going to go through all these, but I want to make sure I get through this today, so I probably won't go through every verse. But that would be a verse that would fit with there. And then number three, hypocrisies. Okay, so this is going to be kind of interesting. So hypocrisies, what is hypocrisy? We use the term being a hypocrite. Anybody in here been accused of being a hypocrite? Probably all of us, if you're a Christian in here today. Everybody goes, oh, Christians are all hypocrites. Well, it depends on how you define hypocrite, okay? Because in our handout here, it says a hypocrite is someone who professes to be something but doesn't live up to it. So if you use that term, yeah, I'm a hypocrite as a Christian because there are times I fail. I fail at being what God wants me to be, okay? If we use the term that way, but that's not quite a biblical term, okay? Is it in that case, everyone in here is a hypocrite to some degree. You know, I've had people say, I'm not going back to church. Those people are hypocrites. There was one man, I go, you go to a doctor? Yeah. I said, you ever have a doctor that didn't live up to what he said? Yeah. I said, you still go, right? I mean, everybody's hypocrites to some degree. And so to use that excuse is really... hogwash. But anyway, Christians are accused of being hypocrites, and yet we fail all the time. But a true hypocrite would be someone who is professing to be a Christian when they are not. That would be a hypocrite. Okay? A true hypocrite is not sincere and would have a motive. Motive would go in your blank for their pretending. Okay? So a hypocrite is really someone who pretends to be something that they really are not. So, in that term, that's not the same way most people use the definition of being a hypocrite. A hypocrite is someone who's pretending to be something else. Okay? So, let's go look at that one. I didn't give you a verse for that, did I? So let's turn over to Matthew 6 and verse 2. And we're going to look at Jesus dealing with some people that he calls hypocrites. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 2. Maybe we can drive this point home. Matthew 6, 2 says, and Jesus is talking, let's jump back to, let's make sure I'm in the right passage. Let's go back to verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Now drop down to verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And then go down to verse 16. It says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So Jesus is really speaking of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, basically, in this passage. And most of those people were not truly following God. They were following their own Jewish religion. And so he's listing them out. See, this is what a hypocrite does. And you guys should not do this. Okay? They were pretending to be, religious isn't the right word, because they were very religious, but they wasn't godly. Let's put it that way. Okay?
Righteous.
They wasn't righteous. You know, today the world looks, and you turn on the nightly news, which I never do, but I mean, you listen to things, you listen to what's going on. Most of the world thinks, well, if you're a Christian, you're a Catholic, basically. And then they use that term, and I'm like, for a Bible believer, for the Pope, we wouldn't consider him to be a Bible believer. I would consider him to be a hypocrite, because he's portraying that he's God's man on earth. And he's really, for thousands of years now, the Bible believers have actually accused him of being the Antichrist, because he's the opposite. That would be a good example of a hypocrite. Someone who pretends that they are what they're not. And that'd be a great example. Okay, and I'm not wanting to beat on all Catholics, because they're not all there, but I tell you what, the high ups are. They know exactly what they're doing. And in fact, they're not God's church, so I'll leave it there and we'll keep moving. So that's what a hypocrite is. We should not be a hypocrite. And so as a Christian, we need to act in that sense. We can't be a hypocrite if you've been born again. You are a Christian, but we can yet still be accused of being a hypocrite because we don't act like one. Okay, so number 4. Envies. Okay? So envies, and we kind of know what that is, being envious. Envy is always spoken of in the Bible in a negative sense. Envy is a covetous form of jealousy. Let me just break it down. Paul uses the word envy in Galatians 5 verse 21. In fact, let's go there and look. Galatians 5:21. In this list, and yet, here's another list. Galatians has one of these lists of things we need to not be. Galatians 5:21 says, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So he's putting people that are envious in the same list as all the rest of them. But look in this particular verse. Murders and drunkenness and revelings and such like. That's a pretty strong list. You know, you can say, well, you know, being envious is not that bad. Well, then it's listed right in with murders in our Bible here in the same passage. So Paul uses this verse. And not only that, when you look at this list of things in this list that Paul has, it basically he uses it in the just that doing these things in our life will cause us to lose rewards. Rewards goes in your blank at the judgment seat of Christ. Okay. So why do we need to get rid of these five things that we're seeing in 1 Peter as well as the list that Paul says in his writings? Because it will cost the Christian rewards. It's going to hurt us. Okay. So we need all the rewards we can get. In fact, that's what we need to be shooting for. We need to be shooting to be held, we will be held accountable at the judgment seat of Christ, but we want to do a good job. You know, it's not, I don't think that we want, well, you know, to puff ourselves up and go, man, I got more rewards than this guy. Or, you know all I got to do is get more rewards than Alfred over here and I'll be okay. No, we don't have that attitude. We should get all the rewards we can, but really, what's our point? To faithfully serve the Lord. So, but doing these things, not taking them out of our lives, is going to hurt us at the judgment seat of Christ. Number five. It says, all evil speakings. Now, what would this include? Well, you know, you fill in the blanks, but I will. So what are all these? So I'm glad you guys asked that. Somebody in here asked that, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. These would include, and I'm sure that's not all of them that on this list here that I've implied. Number one, lies. You know, lying's not good. We teach our kids not to lie. And so we need to get rid of that out of our life. Ephesians 4:25. Anger, wrath, blasphemy, filthy communication. We see that back in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. Get rid of those. So you'll see some things that we're looking at here in 1 Peter that Peter writes down. And I'll just take the time to look at this. I just read chapter 1 of Peter. Did that thing have some deep things in chapter 1 that I just read a minute ago? It sounded like a theologian wrote that, right? And yet it was written by a fisherman. Now, do you think just any fisherman could write that? That tells me no. The Holy Spirit told him what to pin down. He may have pinned it, but the Holy Spirit gave him all that information. Because, I mean, that chapter 1 is just packed full of information and things that happened to us as a Christian. And before and after and all that. But we are to, you know, get rid of the anger, wrath, blasphemy, filthy communication. We see lists from, my point is, Paul has lists like this we need to get rid of. And so does Peter. He has some lists to get rid of also. And so C says it would include perverse things to draw people away from Christ. So basically, what would an evil speaking be? It would be somebody in some church teaching a heresy. That would be an evil speaking. So when we have some, maybe Christian telling people they can lose their salvation, that's a heresy. That's an evil speaking. And at the same time, you know, there are some things we don't want to rail on people. We really just want to take them, show them the Bible. This, you know, you're messed up here. You know, Carrie and I were talking. I don't know about this, but she goes, you know, I like Aquilus and Apollos when they bring Apollos aside and say, hey, you don't got, you know, you're still Old Testament. We're going to get you up to date. And so they bring him aside and they show him from scripture and from the old scripture, you know, how that was fulfilled and Jesus had fulfilled that. And they got him up to speed. And the next thing you know, man, he's up preaching the Bible, correctly. And so that's what we need to do. We need to have that type of an attitude. If someone is out of whack somewhere, just show them in the Bible and try to help them to get to where they need to be. Okay. And so, I've talked to several people in here. I talked to a man once and showed him how you can't lose your salvation, and it went down the list, and he goes, man, I see that. I see exactly what you said. I said, what's the day of redemption? He goes, oh, that's the rapture. I'm like, okay, so it says you can't lose your salvation and God's going to keep it to the rapture, but you guys say you can. He goes, well, my church teaches that. And I go, what do you say? I said, what does the Bible say? He goes, well, what you just showed me, it says we can't. I said, what are you going to do with that? He goes, well, my church doesn't teach it, though. And I'm like, okay. I can bring you to the water, but I can't make you drink it. You know? So, you know, what we really do need to do is, you know, we don't want to get upset with people. We just say, hey, let me show you from the Word of God why I believe what I believe, or what you believe is correct. Let's look at what the Bible says. And if they're honest, they should follow what the Word of God says, okay? And so heresies would be evil speaking. They would fit in that group, okay? And I think you have a couple verses there in Acts, or a passage there. Foolish talking. Oh, my goodness, that's probably me. I talk foolishness, I think, a lot of times. And there's sometimes I just need to be quiet. And then here's one that's kind of that's going to hit all of us. So gossip. Gossip would fit in this group. Evil speakings. Now, you think that, is it evil to gossip? It is if it hurts people. Yeah. So, let's go through these, because I'm probably jumping ahead of myself. Let's go ahead and go to Acts 20. I keep thinking I got to get through this. But hey, we're not catching a bus. You know, we just got to get out of here in time to go to the main service, which we will. Acts 20, 29 and 30. And this is Paul speaking. And so this is probably about 60 AD. And he says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Basically getting ready to teach some heresies. Verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And then he goes on to say, watch and remember and all that. So basically, heresies would fit in this group. That would be an evil speaking. Okay? And I know that's things we don't really quite think of, but they would fit that mode. Then turn over to Ephesians 5:4, and we'll look at the foolish talking. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 4 says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Okay. You know, I like to joke around as much as other people do. Sometimes I go a little far. I have to back up and go, man, I took that just farther than I needed to. That almost kind of fits into foolish talking. Okay. So I admit, yeah, I've got to watch myself on that. And then this last one here is gossip. So I want you to turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 5:14. Again, things to get rid of out of our life. Make sure I'm in the right spot. Okay, Ephesians 5:14 says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. we study that out, it's basically what they're talking about is gossip. But yet, you know, us men like to claim that the women are the ones that gossip. But women don't have a monopoly on it. Men do too. Okay? When we gossip, it's going to hurt people. And guess what? It's going to hurt us. You got to remember, we got to get rid of this stuff because it's going to hurt our standing with the Lord as far as at the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to hurt our standing with people in the community that hear us. It's going to say, okay, yeah, he's being a hypocrite. See, they're up there gossiping. They're doing this. They're doing that. It's going to hurt us. Okay? It's going to hurt us. And men and women, both of us. You know, I have people come to me every once in a while. And some of you guys know this. And they'll start saying, man, did you see this? Or did this person or that person? And I go, wait a minute. I said, you got to remember, they're not normal like we are. And they look at me kind of funny when I say that because they already know I'm not normal. And I'm linking myself with them. And they're kind of like, I don't know if I want to go with that either. And they're like, and you don't say this, but I know what's going through their brain. They're probably going like, well, Bob, I know you're a little whacked, and now you're associating us together. So maybe I shouldn't do that. But anyway, it kind of stops some of that. But I say that all the time. Even people aren't gossiping, because maybe it's to keep me from gossiping. I don't know. But yeah, we need to not gossip. So there are several lists of things to put out of our lives scattered throughout the New Testament, penned by various writers. We see it in Galatians 5. We see it in Mark 7. We see it in 1 Timothy. I mean, we see several other places too. So let's keep moving because I want to wrap this up. So we are to put verse 2. So we got through verse 1 today. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Let me get to where I'm at. Okay. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. And you guys go, I got this verse down. Well, let's find out. Okay. As newborn babes or new Christians, because that's what we're talking about, we are to desire two things. What do you think they are? What does a baby need? Two things. You ladies?
No, food.
Okay, food and what? What?
Nurturing.
Well, that, but what else? Really, what's a baby do all day long? They're either eating or they're
sleeping.
You could put crying in there, but I'm not going to. Okay, so they need food and they need
rest.
Okay? Same thing with a new Christian. You know, you were talking about the man that got saved up here. He's going to need, as a new Christian, he's going to need some food and he's going to need some rest. Okay? And so Peter is addressing a newborn Christian as a newborn babe in this passage, okay? And so there are several things. God's word here is compared to milk in this verse. Now, most of us have been through discipleship, and we see that, and this is nothing new, we see that God's word is compared to food in the Bible. In different places. And really a balanced diet. It gives us what we need to have. And so, as compared to milk, bread, apples, honey, meat, as well as other foods. And if you're taking notes, as compared to milk here in 1 Peter 2, 2. It's compared to bread in Matthew 4, 4. The Word of God is compared to apples in Matthew 25:11. Or Proverbs 25:11 is compared to honey in Psalms 19 verse 10. And it's compared to meat in Hebrews 5:12. And that's just a small list. Most of you probably have this list or more in material you've already heard. And so here it's listed as food, as milk. And a new Christian needs the sincere or what does that mean? And that, I don't know if you're like me. A lot of times I'll read my Bible and I'll just read over some words, like, you know, is it that word just goes right through one ear and out the other one. And if you think, and you might say, well, ears like that, you'd think you'd catch all those words like that. Nobody laughed except my wife. Okay. Yeah, but so we have to, sometimes I have to just slow down like I'm doing today and try to go through this list. Okay. And so a new Christian needs sincere, or you have in your handout a definition of what this sincere means here. It means pure or non-corrupted milk of the word. You need a good translation. You have a bad translation of the Bible, it's going to mess you up. And I'll give you, for instance, and the only reason I say that is because this fits right in. In the RSV translation, in 1 Peter 2:2 that I just read, now let me read this again. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Let me read you what the RSV says. It says, like newborn babes, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it ye may grow up to salvation. Wow. That is not what our Bible says. That's a false lie. That's basically works-based salvation. You grow into your salvation. That's not what our Bible says. Our Bible says that you are saved the moment you accept Christ. You don't grow into it. Okay? So a baby Christian needs the right Bible as well as the right Bible teachers. Now let me stop and say this. We don't have a monopoly on good biblical teaching here. We have good biblical teaching in this church, but that doesn't mean we're the only ones. There's other churches out there that are doing a good job, that teach the Word of God, that's using good translations, but then there's a whole bunch that are not. Okay? I was thinking about this. If we had the Geneva Bible, in fact, I'll just say this. I was listening to a podcast this week by a lady, and the name of her podcast or her show is The Mel Kay Show. Anybody know who that I'm talking about? She is a conservative journalist, and she's one of these ladies that has a podcast that just tells things the way it is. And she's a journalist that's kind of been blackballed by the news organizations because they don't like what she says. So she had on another commentator or another journalist by the name of Naomi Wolf. Does that name ring a bell with anybody? Have you heard that before, Paula? She is also a famous journalist that was like the darling journalist of the news agencies up until about 5-6 years ago, when she started to speak in her mind and coming out and saying what she thought the truth was, and they kind of blackballed her. Well, they were both on a podcast, and I was listening to them. Both of these people are not saved. I'm saying they're not saved. I mean, I'm not 100% sure because I'm not God. But they have a Jewish background, and they were talking about all the things that are going on in our society. And one of them said, you know what? I started reading the Old Testament. She goes, my family's, you know, somewhat religious. I started reading the Old Testament. And she goes, I picked the Geneva Bible because it matches with the Hebrew Old Testament. I don't know if that's true. I don't know, but it's still a good translation. It's one right before the King James. And so she's reading it. And the other lady goes, yeah, I've been reading the Old Testament and the New Testament too. And she goes, you know, I used to think that the God of the Bible was, you know, like this mean old God that really didn't want to deal anything with us, and all he wanted to do was judge us, and he didn't have any love in him. And he goes, after I'm reading the Old Testament and reading some of the New Testament, I've come to the conclusion that God loves us. And he really wants to be a part of what's going on in our lives. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is amazing. We got two lost people talking about this. And one of them made a statement and they said, you know what I don't understand? I don't understand why pastors and preachers in our country aren't preaching the Bible. And the other goes, yeah, I don't know what they're doing in their churches, but they're not preaching the Bible. And I'm like, I was blown away. I'm like, I got two lost people admitting that the Bible is not being taught in our country. Yeah.
Tell me the name of the first lady.
Her name, it's a Mel K show, and I do not know her last name. Mel K. You can Google that. You can search it. You can listen to her. And the lady's like, she's on fire. Just M-E-L-K. Mel-K. You can get a podcast and listen to her. The other lady, Naomi Wolf, has been a big-time journalist. And I think she was pretty liberal at one time. Now she's pretty conservative. I just saw an interview with her that somebody over in the Netherlands was interviewing her about things going on in Europe and in the Netherlands at this time. And she was over there, you know, talking to them. And so, but it's just interesting how we had two lost people talking about why aren't the pastors and the preachers of our countries preaching the Bible. And we need to do it purely. We got to have the right one. Now, I got thinking about it also. What if the King James Bible hadn't come out and we're using the Geneva Bible? Probably fine, but the Geneva Bible had all Calvin's notes in it. We might have eventually been all Calvinist, which again wasn't good either. Okay? So, when people get saved, you know, we're trying to figure out why are the people that do get saved in the United States, why don't they get to the point where they're serving God and loving God and doing what's right? A lot of them aren't getting taught. And a lot of them don't have a good translation. That's it. Yeah. I mean, if you don't teach, if this guy Corey doesn't get some good Bible teaching, he will not grow. Okay? You give a baby the wrong food, he's not going to grow. You give a baby no sleep, he's not going to grow. Okay, so let's keep going. B, God's promises are to be rested in, to be counted on. So I got two things going on. What do newborn Christians need? They need God's word, and they need God's promises. Okay? If the baby Christian is not taught that he has eternal security, that's just one for instance, he will consistently be in turmoil and he will not grow correctly. Correctly goes in your blank. You get a young Christian like Corey and you teach him that he cannot be sure he has eternal security, it's going to mess him up. Or he can lose it. It'll mess him up. And again, we wonder, why is our churches so jacked up today? They haven't been taught the right Bible. They haven't been taught doctrine. They haven't been taught anything, probably. People can go to church all their life and not get taught the Word of God. And they show up to church and they hear a good little message and they go, yeah, I'm good. What did you learn in that message? And I'm beating on a drum, I guess. I know. But I'm like, I always wanted to go to church and learn God's Word. I mean, if I go to church and the guy doesn't open up the Bible and preach God's Word, I'll walk out of there thinking I got robbed.
Well, they don't want to spend anybody because then they might not get
the money. To get their money? Oh, my wife showed me something this week. And what did it say? Take the money out of...
You can figure out who was actually called to be a preacher, to be a pastor.
Take the money away and you'll find out who really was called to preach. And I'm like, wow, that's a pretty good statement. I'll pick on the Southern Baptist for just a second. You know, a lot of times why they are doctors, they would go on to be doctors. Why it's Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so. Because they not only that, they get a bigger pension because from the organization if they're a doctor. I'm like, are you in it for the money or are you in it to preach? So anyway, let's keep going. Last word was, you will not grow correctly. So very end, it says, essential that the new babe in Christ, the new believer, to be taught the basics in God's word. You got to teach him some basic doctrine, which is what discipleship does. And then, that he rest in those promises that God's given him. He needs food and he needs rest. And let him grow and he'll be what God wants him to be. So let's stop there and we'll move forward. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is taught here, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we are not puffed up because we're teaching your word. I pray that we would just be open about your word being taught, that we would be diligent about it, and that we would gladly show people why we believe what we believe in your book in a way, Lord, that they can come to know you more fully. So I pray for that. I pray for, Lord, our class today. Give us open doors, Lord, to get your word out there and always to be able to give an answer to the people that may have a question for us. And Lord, help us to do it with, truth. Help us to give it with being honest. And Lord, help us to do it with the right attitude, Lord. And we'll just thank you for that. Thank you for fruit in our life. We pray for that, and we just ask that we would see fruit in our life, Lord. I pray for the rest of our day and your guidance on it. In Christ's name, amen.